thank y'all for coming to class again today. Call it growth class. It's a class on prayer. Gosh, the more I study about prayer and just pray, you realize it's just so many facets because God's just multifaceted and everything. So, but anyway, in this class, we're continuing on, and we're going to be continuing on our book by Joseph Prince, The Power of the Prayer of Protection. I hope y'all are enjoying it. Realizing lots and lots of things, learning lots and lots of things, and we're going to pick up in the book here in just a few minutes. We're doing the chapter on fearless living. We are slowly doing the chapter on fearless living, but that's okay. I think I've finally come to grips with it, that it doesn't matter how long it takes for us to do this, because my goodness, the things that we're learning and just in our relationship with the Lord and so on and so forth, I really feel like it, you know, I've said I feel like it's preparation time. And I was thinking about this morning and praying about it. And you know what? I remembered what Tricia would always say to us. And I'm sure you've heard other people say it and whatever. But preparation time is never wasted time. Mm-hmm. It's never wasted time. And I really believe every time you open up the Word, it's preparation. It's preparation. And, you know, restoration and provision and everything comes from the Word. But anyway, I have a quote that I put up on the board up here this morning, and you probably wonder why I put that up there. Let's just stop a minute. Let's just pray. I think we need to pray. Father God, I just thank you that you've given us this opportunity, and we've joined together here to learn from you. And Father, I just ask that you would talk to us this morning, each one of us individually, and thank you that you just meet us in this place. That's my heart's desire, is that you just meet us here, and that our lives will be changed, that our relationship with you would be changed, Father, that we'll grow in our relationship with you, because that's really what prayer is. It's just relationship. It's just talking with you. And Lord, I always pray that revelation would come, because revelation will change our heart, and it'll change our voice. It'll change the words that we say, and it'll cause things to be real. And so I just thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding, causing us to see clearly. Lord, we're doing the chapter on fearless living, and we've been talking about fear. And I just believe that by your Spirit that you're exposing fear in our lives, and you're showing us that way of escape through the sacrifice of Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, sir, we just invite you and thank you for your anointing that's in this room that'll destroy yokes and remove burdens off of our lives and answer questions. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, you do a class like this, and so you think, sure, you ought to open in prayer. But when you've prayed, you sometimes forget, you know, because you've already prayed. But I think it's good that whoever is, when they're doing it, is they pray, because that gives you all an opportunity to hook up with, you know, my heart and so on and so forth. But I saw this quote from Dutch Sheets. It really touched my heart. I hope it's touching yours as you're reading it. If God only wanted worship, the creation of angels would have been enough. He instead desires relationship, having someone to spend time with. That someone is you and me. Make time with him a priority. Isn't that neat? You know, we've talked about that prayer is relationship. And really, as we do Psalms 91, I think we've said multiple times that we need to pray Psalms 91 out of relationship. We pray any prayer out of relationship. I love this, having someone to spend time with. Isn't that interesting? God wants to spend time with us. And so to me, that means He wants to be a part of everything that we do. Everything. I think he likes to hear us say, you know, Lord, I want you to do this with me today. I want you to help me with this today. I think as the body of Christ, maybe we've lost sight of that some. And this is really what true prayer is. Prayer is not formulas.
That's right.
It's not formulas. And I pray to God that I'm sure I have, over the years, taught prayer in such a place as formula. But I'm learning. And so, you know, it's just not a formula. It's just relationship. It's really no different than me spending time with any of you in this room. You know, if I spend time with you long enough, I'm going to know what you like and what you don't like. What you want to do, what you don't want to do. And then I'm going to be able to, if you have a close and intimate relationship with somebody, you're going to be able to share your heart. Share what you like and what you don't like. And so on and so forth. And that's the way God wants, you know, to be with us. And the thing about it is he sent Jesus to make the way for that. You know, back in the Garden of Eden, you know, God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. I believe that's how it says it in some versions. But anyway, and how it must have broken God's heart when Adam made the choice that he did. And so I think the reason that we're talking about this morning, because I really felt impressed with the Lord to put that on the board, as we're talking about God's perfect love. Remember last week I said to you, what does it mean when you say perfect love? Because we shared the scripture verse about that perfect love casts out all fear. We're at that place in the book. And so, you know, it was God's love that he created Adam and Eve, and he created them for a relationship. Let me read you something else. I think it'll fit. If I can find it here really quick. It's another quote. Listen to this. And Judy, every time I read this, I think of you. Because we've... anyway. This is Dutch Sheath again. After creating the world, have you ever wondered why the God who never tires needed to rest on the seventh day? Have you ever thought about that? He did. He rested on the seventh day. In Genesis 2:2, the word rested actually means to celebrate. Our proud papa was so excited about his creation that he took a whole day to celebrate. Isn't that neat? I don't know why I think about you, Judy, when I read that, but I do. And that's a compliment. But anyway... if we could just see this way, get rid of our religious thinking, our religious attitude, and just see God celebrating us. Have you ever thought that God celebrates you? I haven't real often, but I want to more. And I think as I grow in that place of his perfect love for me, and it's his love. It's not my love for him. It's his love that's perfect. Then, you know, I'll be able to see these things more. But I hope you like that. I hope you receive that quote that's on there. We're going to move on, but I hope this comes to your remembrance as you're spending your day and as you're walking through your day. And, you know, sometimes I will say this and we'll move on. Sometimes, you know, we all have our relationship is different for lots of reasons and all of that. And it's all good. Our relationship is good. But, you know, I know for me, that I've gone through seasons in my life where I involve God in the big things. When I had a pain in my body, I didn't have any money in my pocket. I had a child that was doing whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I am learning as I grow older, I am learning that God wants to, as this said, I mean, he really wants to be a part of everything that I do. And it's a tremendous revelation to get that. Because, you know, the Word says that since God is for me, who can be against me? And the Word says nothing will separate me from His love. Well, there's a reason for that. And so, you know, God's encouraging me, nothing will separate me, my love from you, so don't you separate me, your love from me. By whatever that may be going on. And lots of times it's just getting too busy. And sometimes I think our nature, we might not want to involve God in everything. That's a thought too. So, but I think if there's something we don't want involving men, then we need to think about it. Remember when we did that story, I read you that story, gosh, this has been probably 2 years ago, about the house and going through the house. Judy, I know you really like that story, where in this story, this man was taking Jesus through the different rooms in his house, and he said, oh, we don't want to go in there, it's putrid in there, you know, there's things in our heart. At that home, he was talking about our heart, and so on and so forth. So let's learn how to involve God in every area of our life and let His perfect love that He has for us drive out all fear. Because you know what? That's God's perfect love right there. When He created us because He desired a relationship. Okay? Let's move on to chapter 69. We're at the bottom of the page that says perfect love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. Did I say 69? Mm-hmm. It is 69. I said 59, didn't I?
No,
it's 69.
Chapter 69. Oh. Okay. All right, well.
We sent through that.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Page 69. Before that bottom part there, we talked about grace. We won't go back and reread that. The only thing that I want to say to that is I reminded us all of what Brother Copeland said that God showed him was that His grace is God's overwhelming desire to treat us as if we have never sinned. That's a tremendous revelation itself. And then I want to share, I looked up just the word perfect. I think you know what it is and means. But I liked a part of it. When something's perfect, it's exactly fitting a need in a certain situation. It's exactly fitting a need in a certain situation. So God's love for us is perfect, and it will fit every need or any need that we would have in life. It doesn't have any flaws, defects, or shortcomings. You know, our love for each other has shortcomings. I dare say you cannot tell me of someone who loves you perfectly on the earth. I mean, we're always going to get upset with each other. Nah. Yeah, right. We're always going to say sharp words. We're always going to get into a discussion that might be a little challenging, you know. But God's love is perfect. It has no flaws to it. Some synonyms for the word perfect is that it's foolproof, superb, pure, absolute, faultless, unequaled. There is no love that equals God's love. My husband's love for me is unequaled. It's beyond compare and it's out of this world.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Judy.
We were listening to Brother Keith Moore this morning, and he said that he defined perfect as being complete.
Complete. Yeah, it's complete. No flaws. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Complete. That's good. Complete. Okay, let's read. Something else happens when you understand His grace. You will also grow in your understanding of how perfectly loved you are by your Father in heaven. God so loved you and me, He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross on our behalf, carrying all of our sins upon His own body, so that today we can come boldly to His throne of grace. He did it so that today we're not as sheep without a shepherd, but we're so deeply loved and cared for by our Abba Father. We are his children, and when we call on him, he will answer. We have a God who demonstrated his love for us while we were still sinners, when we had nothing to offer him but our brokenness, shame, sins, and disqualifications. Oh, what perfect love. The Word of God says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And then this is so much of a key right here. Are you fearful today? Ask yourself this question. Do you know how much God loves you? You see, you can't reason away fear. I think that is so profound. You cannot reason away fear. Fear is a spiritual force, just like God's love is a spiritual force. And sometimes when we find ourselves in a place of fear, we try, maybe you haven't, but I think we have the opportunity to reason our way out of it. Well, maybe if I do this, or if I do that, or if I change this, or so on and so forth. You know, it's interesting. We did those phobias at the first of this chapter. We went over, and we went over different phobias. There's like 100 phobias or whatever. And I was in Wade's this past week picking up some things for my mom and this lady that's at the cash register. She's been there forever. We made a comment about the weather, how pretty it was. She said, but I can't stand the wind. She said, the wind just does something to me. You remember that was a phobia, fear of the wind. And so, you know, it's those little things that we just put up with. We just think it's a part of life. But, you know, we bought a lie where that's concerned. Now, I believe, you know, we'll be receiving a revelation of God's love from the time from here on till we leave the earth. But he goes on and he says, but when you have a revelation of his perfect love for you, every fear in your life will be cast out. I really believe that. I really do. Because, you know, we've talked about Keith Moore says the root of, you know, all fear is the fear of death. And there are people that are afraid of dying. But anyway, I think when we have that revelation of how perfect God's love is, there's no flaws. And it's not, to me, this is the way it works for me. God's love's not conditional. My husband's love for me, as much as he doesn't want it to be, is conditional. My love for him is conditional. I mean, we don't want that to be, and we're growing in it as a husband and wife. I mean, because he's the closest person to me, but, you know, he's not always easy to love. Well,
you want something else?
There's that condition.
There's that condition. See?
What'd you say?
There's that condition.
So it's perfect.
Thanks for you too, Pat.
You call me a girl when you come.
But let me say, you didn't let me finish it. But I'm not always easy for him to love. You know, I have my moments and I do things and I press in and dig in. And you know what? I will put it this way. I'm sure he's easier to love than I am for him to love me. But, you know, anyway. But you see what I'm saying? God's love is unconditional. And this reminds me of something I have written in my Bible that I want to read to you. This is a quote from Joyce Meyer. And she refers, it's talking about 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. We did this last week. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know, I've heard Creflo Dollar say this. I've heard Joseph Prince say this. I think Mark Hankins maybe. But anyway, for years, the body of Christ and what we've been taught, it's always been about our love for God and for others. Has it not? I mean, if you love God, you know, you'll do this and you'll do that, and you love others and so on and so on. That's been the emphasis. But really, the emphasis needs to be God's love for us. That needs to be the catalyst that causes you to do what you do for God out of love. But she says this, referring to that scripture verse. She said, the key is choosing to believe and thereby receive that God loves me unconditionally. And you know, this is easy to do when you've had a good day. But when you ain't had such a good day. I mean, am I the only one in the room that ever deals with, God might be a little upset with me right now, or whatever. But man, when we can get a hold of that unconditional love, and it's not because of our performance, it's because of what Jesus did, that God can look at us and say, now I love you unconditionally, and I'm going to help you in whatever it is, the situation it is. And it's by faith that we believe he loves us unconditionally. And she goes on to say, there's nothing I've done that disqualifies me from receiving the love of God. Now you ask yourself if you really believe that. That there's nothing you've done that disqualifies you from receiving God's love. Now you can say, Wanda, we're not doing the book. Well, and I won't apologize for this because I believe this is all out of the heart of God for us. But this is a foundation. You know, we, to live this fearless life, you know, we've got to get this. And what I want to do, we've got to get this firmed up in us. And what I want to do is stir, if there's any area in your life that you're lacking in this, is stir you up in it. So that, you know, you can grow in it and we can all grow in it together. And we'll walk in that place of having no fear in our life. But there's nothing I've done that disqualifies me from receiving the love of God. This is Joyce Meyer. No matter what I have done in the past, God loves me. No matter what others have said about me, God loves me. No matter what failure I am dealing with, God loves me. No matter what lie the enemy has told me, God loves me. The love of God meets me where I am. But listen to this. It doesn't leave me there. God's love heals, restores, encourages, and transforms every part of my life. That's what God's love will do for us. It's perfect. It has no flaws in it. So y'all think on that, meditate on it. So when you read this, you say, God, I need a revelation of your love. That's been my prayer for a long time because I've realized, you know, I could have told anybody on the street if they'd have said, do you believe God loves you? I'd said, yeah, God loves me. He sent Jesus to the cross. That was my pat answer. But when I found myself in some of these situations, the enemy lied to me. I did something I thought disqualified me. Something come up from my past. Whatever. Then it would become a question mark. So I realized that can't be. Jesus did too much. He did too much for me. He gave up too much.
And you're reading that? Mm-hmm. What went through my mind was that I think you were saying that this is important for us to realize and to actually, you know, get into us mm-hmm. about this. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, especially because, not as though we didn't need it before, but especially now as we're as you know, time is winding down, we have the harvest, you know, there's so much to do and to be, I mean, to for, you know, the end time harvest. It's like, I was thinking of this and I thought, you know I need this because this will help me, that revelation, that true revelation of His love will help me to better relate to others, especially the harvest that's coming in, the new people, you know, that unconditional love we need to also then show to those people.
Right.
That no matter what, I'm here for you.
Right.
I'm here to help you. I'm here to assist you.
Right. And you know, when we grow in the unconditional love of God and have a revelation of it, then we'll be able to give that to somebody, like you said. But then we'll walk in love. We've tried to walk in love because of whatever reason that we're supposed to. The Word tells us we're supposed to. But we're supposed to walk in love, I think, without having the full revelation of God's love for us. So no matter how hard we've tried to walk in love, it's been conditional.
You know, Wanda, I've never had any problem with believing that God loved me without any reservations. Now, where we might think about this thing is, there's been times when I knew that what I did, God wasn't pleased with. Now, you see, there's a difference between being not pleased with and not loved. And that's one of the things that Brother Keith was teaching this morning, that God's correction is an act of love, the act of His love toward us.
Right.
So when we do something that doesn't please Him and He corrects us, I mean, either through the Word or sometimes directly. I mean, we hear inside of us, you know, something that's... He wants us back in our side to be back in fellowship with Him, not His side. He's there already.
Right.
So, like I say, I've never had a problem with that, but I do know that there's things that times that I knew the Lord wasn't pleased.
Sure. But Gene, you don't have a problem with it, and that's wonderful. But there's a lot of people that do.
Well, I never really thought too much about that.
Oh, mercy. Joyce Meyer, when she wrote her book, God's Not Mad at Me, God's Not Mad at You, or however the book's title, she said she'd never gotten so much response on, I guess it's Facebook or whatever, people thanking her for writing that book. That's one of the main tools of the enemy, I believe. It's the condemnation.
Yeah, okay, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's wonderful that you have that foundation and that you are secure in that. I think there's lots of people that aren't. But I understand what you're saying. Yes, God, out of His love, He does correct, and so on and so forth. But you've got to be secure in knowing that God loves you to receive that and not receive the condemnation.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes being able to receive that, your ability to do that, also can be affected by the way your parents parented you.
Oh, sure.
From an early age.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, absolutely. And there could be lots of reasons.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing, I think, with what it is just praying for a revelation, as he said here. He says, you can't reason away fear, but when you have a revelation of His perfect love for you, every fear in your life will be cast out. To the extent that you understand His love for you, you will live fearlessly in dangerous times. And, you know, Gene, there's a lot of people that think that you
God's
know.
God's out to get them.
Yeah, that God's out to get them. That's what religion teaches.
Okay, I hear you.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, I just heard somebody this past week. Her daughter lost a child, and she made a comment about God. How did she? I'm not sure exactly how she put it. God knows what He's doing or something. I mean, it's what religion. And these people are sincere. And they absolutely believe this. And, I've never believed that about God, that was one thing that God would do. But I know that some of my other thoughts about God have been not exactly according to the Word. But it's the bottom line. I mean, it's And y'all have heard this example, and I'll just repeat it again. Creflo Dollar tells this story. Remember me telling you about the man that went to the insane asylum, and he felt like God had sent him there, and he was going to go there. He didn't know exactly what he was going to do, but I can't remember if he was a pastor or minister or whatever, but he was going to the insane asylum, and he was going to minister to the people. And they put him in the worst room. And in that room, there was people that could not hold a conversation. In fact, they had messed on the floor. They couldn't function in society, period. Even function in life. And he's like, what am I going to do, you know, in here? And God told him, he said, you sit down and you sing, Jesus loves me. Remember this story? And so he sat there and for an hour he sang, Jesus loves me. And he went back then the next day. And eventually, now this is people that could not hold a conversation. Then the next few days, they started singing along with him. And I think it was over a period of 2 or 3 months, he went every day, and that's all he did. He sat and he sang, Jesus loves me. This is an astounding story. And out of all those people, and he didn't say how many there were, all but two graduated from there and went home. And the other two went to a different level, whatever. Now, what does that tell you? And probably most of those people were there and were there because of something that had happened, and the devil had lied to them long enough that the guilt and condemnation had taken over in their life. And there was no way, you know, they believed God loved them. They couldn't have. And I've heard Joyce Meyer say, she said, I've gone to the same asylum. And she said, I've walked down the halls and people have gone by me and I've heard them muttering, it's all my fault. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. You've got to see. I mean, we've got an enemy. And this is one of his main tools, is guilt and condemnation. Because, you know, you can't stand. You can't stand if you're all wrapped up in guilt and condemnation over something. You cannot stand before God. You'll hide from him. I'm talking about severe guilt and condemnation. Not whatever. I honestly, well, anyway. So, can we not say that love, where like she said here, that the love of God won't leave you where you're at, it will meet you, and God's love will heal, restore, encourage, and transform every part of your life. You know what happened? He merely sang, Jesus loves me, which is, if we could go back to it and take it out of our thinking that that's just a childhood song, take it out of our thinking and think of the anointing that is on that song. And really what he did that for an hour. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It don't matter where these people were at mentally. The word of God, that is the word of God that he gave them for an hour every day. The word of God went in and took care of whatever they were. I mean, it healed it. Whether it was, you know, a root of fear, sure it was. Condemnation is a fear because you're afraid of punishment. Right? I mean, when you're condemned, you're like, man, I done something wrong. And I deserve to be punished. I mean, I'm talking about apart from what you know of God.
We went to a prison fellowship meeting one time, mm-hmm. Gene and I did. Norman and Brenda Dodo, a lot of y'all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They led it. And I never will forget, we sang Jesus Loves Me. And it brought me to tears, mm-hmm. hearing those men sing. And, yeah. And a lot of them were weeping.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the love of God. Yeah. I mean, it's just the love of God. Okay, I got 5 minutes here. I wrote this statement down. When you realize there's fear in your life, don't major on what you're fearful of, but on God's perfect love. Don't major on that fear. The enemy wants you to major on it. But you major in your thinking, God's perfect love for you. You find scriptures that fit the situation, and you major, you know, on that. And then the Lord showed me to do this for you. I'm going to read you quite a few verses. This is from Romans 8. But in this, if you'll listen to this, you're going to hear God's perfect love for you. Okay? And this is out of the Passion version. But just, this is how I thought it. Just let the washing of the water of the Word go over you and help bring a revelation to you of God's perfect love for you. The title above it all is The Triumph of God's Love. So what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them, not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph? Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecution, deprivation, danger, death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. Even though it is written, all day long we face death threats, for your sake, God, we're considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than a conqueror, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate me from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over life's troubles. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over fallen angels. I am convinced that his love will triumph over dark rulers in the heavens. I am convinced that God's love will triumph, and there is nothing in my present or future circumstance that can weaken his love. There's no power above us or beneath us. There's no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance me from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And then I leave you with this thought. As long as I refuse to let anything separate me from God's love, I will have the victory. And that's Joyce Meyer. But the choice is ours on whether or not we allow something to separate us from the love of God. But what I, you know, the whole book, the whole Bible is God's love story to us. This is just a small portion, a very minute portion of his word. But if you will pray, if you have need in this area, you'll pray for a revelation of God's love. Then as you read the word, the scriptures will begin to minister to you God's love, and you'll grow in that. And what will that do? It'll cast out fear in your life. And you can live a fearless life. Okay? Thank y'all for listening. And I kind of didn't want to start the next part till next week, because we've got about 3 or 4 pages in here where he talks about Gideon. And once we start that, I want, my goal is to take it all the way through, because there is a sequence to it and all. But we're going to learn about Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. God bless you, and thank you so much.